This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Mike James.
Hi, welcome to another edition of the Armor of God. We're glad you could join us on today's program. What we're going to talk about today is the prophet Hosea, and we're going to look at what the major issues were with Hosea. What was he concerned with in looking at the northern kingdom of Israel? And what can we glean from that in our society today? What can we learn from the prophet Hosea as he looked at his nation at that time and the problems that were occurring there, and how that might affect us as we look at our nation today and the problems that are occurring here? Before we do any of that, though, I want to talk a little bit about prophecy. Many people have the idea that prophets and prophecy are only dealing with the future and only dealing with what's going to happen in the end of days when Jesus comes back. But that's not entirely the case. That is true to an extent. We do have prophets and prophecy that deal with the end of days, but there are also prophets and prophecies who dealt with things that were going to occur in the future in which they were living and have already occurred. We can look at fulfilled prophecy and as an example that there is a God. But specifically today, we need to remember that the prophets also talked about the problems and issues that the nations of Israel and Judah were having in that time and place that the prophets were living. And when we look at the prophet Hosea, we are going to see a number of these issues as we move forward on today's program. Before we do that, though, I want to give you a little bit of background into the prophet Hosea. The prophet Hosea probably started prophesying around 750 BC, and he prophesied for about 38 years. Now, the reason we know this is if we turn to the prophet Hosea and look at his book, Hosea chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "The word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel." So we know which kings were ruling in Judah and which one was around up in Israel at the time of his prophecy, and this helps us understand how long he was prophesying. Another important thing about the prophet Hosea is that he was speaking to the northern kingdom. Now, this is interesting because many of the minor prophets, and I say minor prophets meaning that their books are a little bit smaller and shorter than the major prophets like Ezekiel, Jeremiah, and Isaiah. Many or most of the minor prophets were from Judah, but Hosea was from the northern kingdom, and his message was directed to that northern kingdom known as Israel. Now, another interesting facet of looking at the book of Hosea is prior to Hosea's prophecy, there was a good king in the northern kingdom of Israel. He was known as Jeroboam II. And during his reign, which was from about 793 to 753 BC, Israel was enjoying a good age. It was almost as good as the time of David and Solomon, which is thought of as the golden age for Israel. So it wasn't as great as that time. They weren't as powerful or as great, but they were doing very well as a nation during the time of Jeroboam II. What happens is, within 30 short years of Jeroboam II's moving away from being king of Israel, Israel is destroyed as a nation. The Assyrians come in and take them out, and boom, they're gone. Within 30 years, it's amazing how quickly the demise of the northern kingdom occurred. We're going to talk a little bit more about that when we come back. What we're going to do right now is offer you some free items on today's program. The items we are going to offer you today are two. We want to offer you a free booklet. This booklet is titled A World in Transition. This is one of our largest booklets. It's about 95 pages long. And in this booklet, you will learn things about the prophetic significance of Great Britain and the United States. You will read about prophetic events in the future, the warning voice of Jeremiah, and why would these things happen to us. To get more, please order this booklet and order the CD, Where Are We Headed Prophetically, by another moderator on this program, Mr. Bill Watson. Please get both of these items by calling toll-free 1-888-578-8791. That's 1-888-578-8791. Or visit our website to order, www.cgi.org. That's www.cgi.org. You can also go to our website to learn more about our weekly sermon broadcast. Once again, that's www.cgi.org. Thanks again, those of you that were with us at the top of the program, and those of you just joining in, we're talking today about the prophet Hosea, and we're looking at what his message was all about. What did he have to say to the northern kingdom of Israel, and how does that message resonate for us today? As I said at the top of the program, the prophet Hosea prophesied about 38 years, and he was focused on the northern kingdom of Israel. We need to remember that the northern kingdom had split from the southern kingdom of Judah after the time of Solomon. And as we read about this northern kingdom, we find out right before Hosea begins to prophesy, they were doing pretty good as a nation. But as Hosea begins to prophesy, we have a turn in the leadership of this northern kingdom, of this nation of Israel at that time. And here's what we learn about the leadership. The leaders were evil. The leaders were assassinating each other. And I want to look at some details in relation to that. And I want us to think about the leadership of nations today in the world as we look at this. What was one of the major problems that God had with Israel at this time? It was the lack of good leadership, ladies and gentlemen. And we get that from 2 Kings. If you turn with me to 2 Kings, we're going to pick it up in chapter 15 and verses 8 and 9. Now, you might wonder why we're going to 2 Kings if we're talking about the prophet Hosea. The book of 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, 1 and 2 Samuel, they all talk about the kings of Israel and Judah. They give us more details about what was occurring in those locations at the time that the prophets were prophesying. So the prophets did prophesy about the future, but they also prophesied about what was going on in the life and times of these particular kings. Let's pick it up in 2 Kings 15 and verse 8. It says, in the 38th year of Azariah, king of Judah, did Zechariah the son of Jeroboam reign over Israel in Samaria. Samaria is another name for the land of Israel. 6 months. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his fathers had done. He departed not from the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat. That's not Jeroboam the second, who made Israel to sin. Now notice what happens next, verse 10. And Shalom the son of Jabesh conspired against him and smote him before the people and slew him and reigned in his stead. Now do you get what's going on here amongst the leaders of Israel? After the time they were doing pretty good as a nation, you get some bad dudes taking over as the leaders of this country. And they're taking over by assassinating the previous king. And the Bible says they are doing evil. Now, if the kings and the leaders are doing evil, imagine what the people were doing. Bad leadership is going to lead to bad people. They aren't always together. There isn't always bad people with bad leaders, but if you got bad leaders, it's going to help the people be bad also. Well, let's pick it up in this same chapter. I want to read a little bit further on in verse 14. It says, "For Menahem, the son of Gadai, went up from Tirzah and came to Samaria and smote Shallum." So he got what he deserved, I guess. "And smote Shallum, the son of Jabesh, in Samaria and slew him and reigned in his stead." So here's another assassination, another usurpation of power through assassination, through violence. So we see that these kings aren't doing things in the proper way. They aren't doing things in a nice way, and that impression is being played out upon the nation of Israel. They're aware of how this king took over from that king, and imagine what the attitudes of the people might have been about how they should operate in life. Now in verse 24, we get some more information like this. "And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin." Verse 25. "But Pekah, the son of Remaliah, a captain of his, conspired against him and smote him in Samaria in the palace of the king's house with Argob and Arai, and with him 50 men of the Gileadites, and he killed him and reigned in his room." A third assassination. Now all these assassinations are occurring within 25 years of each other. During the time of Hosea's prophecy, this is what was going on amongst the leadership of this nation that Hosea was speaking to. Now notice one more example here in verse 30. "And Hoshea," not Hosea, but Hoshea, "the son of Elah, made a conspiracy against Pekah, the son of Remaliah, and smote him, and slew him, and reigned in his stead in the 20th year of Jotham, the son of Uzziah." So we see four assassinations of various kings within the northern kingdom of Israel. I think there was a reason why Hosea was bringing a prophecy to this nation. They were corrupt, they were leaderless, they were violent, and they were evil, as it said here in 2 Kings. Now, there was another problem with this nation of Israel. And when you think about the bad political scene here, I look at my country today, and I see the problems between the Democrats and the Republicans. I see the budgetary problems. I see the problem with the debt. And no one is really dealing with these problems. We're barely scratching the surface in dealing with these problems. We're hamstrung because our leaders are not leading us, ladies and gentlemen. They are going in different directions. Not as bad as it seems here in Israel at this time, but things are not good with our political situation today. And I'm just speaking of the United States. When you look at countries like North Korea, when you look at countries like Russia, when you look at countries in the Middle East, and the leaders that are running those countries, you see a bad scene out there, ladies and gentlemen. Coming back to Hosea and the times of Hosea, within 30 short years, this good kingdom under Jeroboam II would be destroyed. It can happen that fast, ladies and gentlemen, and we need to be aware of that. We need to be aware of that. Now, let's get back to the story here. Another problem that God had with the northern kingdom of Israel is addressed in 2 Kings 15 and verse 19. Listen to this. "And Pul, the king of Assyria, came against the land of Menahem, and Menahem gave Pul 1,000 talents of silver, that his hand might be with him to confirm the kingdom in his hand. And Menahem exacted the money of Israel, even of all the mighty men of wealth, of each man 50 shekels of silver, to give to the king of Assyria. So the king of Assyria turned back and stayed not there in the land." You see what's going on here? The king of Israel is saying, "Hey, I gotta placate these Assyrians. I'm a little worried about these Assyrians. Let me give them some money from my people and see if that keeps them at bay." Because the Assyrians were starting to grow in power. Now, what's interesting about this is when you read the book of Hosea, you read in it that they were not keeping God's commandments. Is it possible that they were not tithing what they should have been tithing to God? When the king here is taking from the coffers of his nation and giving it to another nation? I don't know that, but it's something to think about. Another issue that we have with the land of Israel at this time can be found if we go back to the prophet Hosea, and we're going to look at Hosea chapter 7 and verse 11. What was going on here is Israel was playing the harlot with these other nations around them. They were paying off the Assyrians. And notice this in Hosea 7 and verse 11. Ephraim, that's another name for the northern kingdom of Israel, Ephraim also is like a silly dove without heart. They call to Egypt. They go to Assyria. Why does God have Hosea make this particular prophecy to Israel? Because what he's saying is it's like a dove. Did you ever see a dove fluttering around when it's not sure which direction it should go? He's saying that's how Israel is here. They don't have faith in God anymore, so they're going and dealing with the Assyrians. Then they're going over to the Egyptians who were to their west, and they're creating an alliance with the Egyptians because of their concern about the Assyrians. But where's God in the picture? That's the problem here. They are not seeking God. They are not going to God with their concerns or worries about the nations around them. They have forgotten God and left God out of the picture. And that's what he means about the fact that he calls them a harlot. He calls the nation of Israel a harlot. And he does this in a unique way. What he does is he actually has Hosea actually play out the relationship between God and Israel within his own married life. Notice what God says to Hosea in chapter 1 and verse 2 of the book of Hosea. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea, and the Lord said to Hosea, "Go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord." That's the key here. What's God upset about? They've departed from the Lord. They're running after other nations, creating alliances with them, giving away their money to them. And they're forgetting about God and their relationship with God. And he tells Hosea, "I want you to marry a woman who's going to be like this." Now, God did this with other prophets. He had the prophets actually physically go through things to play out what was going to happen to these nations. And he does it again here with Hosea. Now, some argue and say, well, the woman was an adulterous woman when she came to Hosea. But I disagree with that. I think she became an adulterous woman after the relationship had started. Notice one reason why we say that is if you pick it up in verse 3, chapter 1 of Hosea, it says, "So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of the blame, which conceived and bare him a son." So he's having this child with this woman. It's not this woman bringing these children into the marriage. And notice in verse 6 of the same chapter, "And she conceived again and bare a daughter." And then we can drop down to verse 8. "Now when she had weaned Lo Ruhamah, she conceived and bare a son." So they develop a relationship, they get married, they have children. And then what happens after that is she does become an adulterous woman. And she is put away. She is sent away, just like the relationship between God and Israel. God, if you think back to Moses, created this covenant with Israel. And Israel went away from God and started to mess with the other nations and mess with their religious practices. And notice what happens in chapter 3 of Hosea. This is a key, folks. Hosea chapter 3, verse 1. "Then said the Lord God unto me, Go yet, love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine," or some translations say cakes of raisins. Let me explain that to you. What he's saying here essentially is that I want you to take Gomer back and I want you to be a husband to her again. Let bygones be bygones. Let it go. Have her repent and come back to you and have relationship with her again. And this is the hope for Israel. God is telling Hosea to let Israel know that if they will depart from these false gods and these false ways that they've been following, God will love them again. He will take them back. And that's part of the hope of the message of Hosea that he addresses later in his book, that Israel can come back, and according to prophecy, they will come back. But notice what it says. What was God upset about? That they were loving other gods, and they were having flagons of wine and raisin cakes. What are the flagons of wine and raisin cakes? Many of the practices towards these pagan gods involved ingesting a lot of wine, a lot of alcoholic beverage, becoming drunk, and getting into that particular worship of the god. The raisin cakes were another form of worship to these false gods that the Israelites were partaking in. They were creating a syncretistic religion, a religion that was combining the worship of Yahweh with these false gods like Baal. And this is what God did not want. He really had a problem with this. And this is one of the reasons, ladies and gentlemen, why the Assyrians hammered the Israelites and knocked out the northern kingdom and took them into captivity. Because sin had to be dealt with, and God was going to deal with it. Notice that Hosea was prophesying for 38 years or so. He was giving them this message. God wanted them to repent, but they didn't. And if they didn't repent, God was going to have to bring down the hammer upon them. And as I look at the world today and the situation in the world today, I'm wondering, when is God going to bring that hammer down? Because if you read prophecy, ladies and gentlemen, you know the hammer is going to come down at some point. We need to turn back to God now. The message is still clear. If you do repent, if you turn back, He will take you back. He will let it go. But you've got to turn back to God. This is a warning message. I'm giving it to you who've listened to this message. I'd like to give it to the president of our country and other leaders within this world. If we don't turn back to the God of this Bible, the hammer will fall and we will all pay those consequences, ladies and gentlemen. Now, as we look further at the book of Hosea, we see that there's a lot more that he has to say. But since my time is limited, I want to mention just a couple things before we leave you for today. God used a phrase in the book of Hosea. In the Hebrew, it's Dath Elohim. And Hosea uses it in a number of places within his prophecy. Dath Elohim means basically sympathy for God, or attachment to God, or having an intense involvement with God, or commitment to God. Let me show you one of the examples of this in Hosea 4:6, just so we understand the message of Hosea a little bit better. In Hosea 4:6, it says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." That lack of knowledge there is Dath Elohim. And in the English, it doesn't do justice to the Hebrew. What it really means, lack of knowledge, it means lack of attachment, lack of involvement, lack of sympathy for God. What is God telling Hosea to tell Israel? You've forgotten about me. You've put me by the wayside. You aren't attached to me. You aren't dedicated to me. You aren't involved with me completely. That's what God wants from us, ladies and gentlemen. He wants complete attachment, complete involvement. This was another point that Hosea was bringing home to the nation of Israel at his time. And his message is relevant to our time today, ladies and gentlemen. We've gone into humanism. We believe in science and have faith in that. There are some people that don't have any belief in God at all. And we've created alliances, and we're worrying about what this country thinks and what that country thinks. And we're giving of ourselves to these other countries. And it's good to help out people. Don't get me wrong. That is a biblical concept too. But we're forgetting God in all of this. We're doing this in our own mind, with our own means, rather than thinking, how would God want us to operate in these various situations? Israel forgot God, and they received the punishment for it. We have forgotten God, ladies and gentlemen, and I worry about what is going to come in the future for this particular nation. But not only this nation, ladies and gentlemen, the entire world. Because we still have a form of godliness. We still have people crying out to the God of this Bible. Most of the rest of the world is not even at that particular stage. I hope you've learned something by looking at the prophet Hosea today. He has a timely message. We need to hear it. Thanks again for joining us. Goodbye for now, friends.
You know, on today's program, Mike had a real interesting take on the prophecies of Hosea. That's right, my friends. He not only told us about the fact that the prophets would talk about future events and end time scenarios, he reminded us that they were also messengers of hope and educators, illustrating to the culture of their times the things that God was dissatisfied with and where that culture or society fell short to God's expectations. Now, you may say, well, Bill, what does that have to do with the United States of America in the 21st century? I mean, we're not the nation of Israel. Oh, but my friends, we have adopted the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to be the very underscoring foundation of our whole culture, of our whole society. And we, my friends, are held accountable accordingly. Don't think for a minute that God isn't weighing us in the balances for our trends toward humanism and secularism and hedonism. He knows very well. We are a society that are in the midst of abandoning His standards and His values, legalizing things that were abhorred years ago and of which go contrary to the very word of His. He knows and is watching, as well as many of us know and who are watching, that recognize that the drift that now we are in the midst of and are partakers of and essentially experiencing is a drift that is indeed separating us and could easily be defined as abandoning our God. My friends, won't you let us help you to better understand what is really going on today? Dial now, 888-578-8791. Ask the operator for both of our free offers. A booklet, as Mike said, one of our largest booklets, titled A World in Transition, and a one-hour presentation titled Where Are We Headed Prophetically? Both will be highly complimentary to Mike's presentation and give you much more detail and hopefully clarity for you to be able to better understand just exactly what adjustments you need to make in your own life, if not the society around you, for you yourself to get your life back right with God. Friends, this is Bill Watson reminding all of you, as we always do, you keep on that armor of God so that you may be able to stand in this evil day.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by the Church of God International and supported by our viewers.